Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. This show is not like any other show out there. We tell the truth. No one controls what we say, and we're on a mission to expose what is going on in government on both sides of the aisle and in between. You can go to katedalyradio.com for more podcasts of the show, and thanks for listening in.
Interruptions. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
The truth hurts, doesn't it, Habsburg? Oh, sure. Maybe not as much as jumping on a bicycle with a seat missing, but it hurts.
Oh, man, I love that quote from Airplane. Truth hurts. Not as much jumping on a bicycle without a seat, but it hurts. I love it. Welcome to the final hour on a Monday. And, of course, you know what's great about this hour, Uncle Milty?
Dr. Duke.
Dr. Duke. And you know what's great about this is I'm joined by two fantastic guys, Uncle Milty and Dr. Duke Pesta. And we switcheroo'd into the last hour, and I'm so glad because this hour, I have a feeling, is just going to whiz by because of the amazing Dr. Duke Pesta. And then, of course, I've got amazing Uncle Milty. It's going to be a lot of fun. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. You can go to katedalyradio.com for the podcast to this episode, and it will be there for you to share, which I love. And you can also contact me, Kate, at katedalyradio.com. I'd love to hear from you. Welcome to the show, Dr. Duke Pesta.
Hey, thanks so much. It's weird being on the 5 o'clock hour, but we got all the rush hour folks.
I know. Isn't this great? And you know what? I'm actually, this is going to be a lot of fun because there's so many topics at hand that I'd love to hear you tackle. This is going to be really fun. Not fun, but you know what I mean. Fun. So I just want to hear what you have to say, and make sure you're catching the Dr. Duke Show. You can actually catch it on the Kate Daly Show right after this. It is live. And so you can just go right there on Facebook and listen in. But Dr. Duke's got a wonderful show. So I'm really happy for you, Duke.
Thank you very much. Yeah,
you bet. All right. You went to the movies, and I want to hear what you thought about Joker.
Well, if any of your listeners aren't used to hearing me at this hour, I'm a 25-year university professor, happen to be both conservative and Christian. Mm-hmm. So that's a very rare creature. And my students have been raving about this movie, and I've kind of wanted to see it myself. Mm-hmm. And so I saw Joker yesterday. Me and the wife went and saw Joker. Mm-hmm. And first of all, I got to say, it's a brilliant movie. It's absolutely brilliant. It is disturbing. It's a tough movie to watch because there's not a single moment of lightness. There's not a single moment where the excruciating agony of a mind descending into madness isn't there. So if you can't handle, there's no comic relief in this. There is no easing off of the falling apart of this character. But I tell you, he deserves the Best Actor Award. He did an amazing job. It is an incredibly disturbing movie, but it's brilliant. It really is brilliant. And I'll tell you, one of the most brilliant, and I figured out now watching it, guys, I figured out why the progressive left hates it. Mm-hmm. If you look at Rotten Tomatoes, you look at all the progressive sites where they review movies, they don't like it. They call it mental health shaming. They call it pandering to right-wing violence. All sorts of garbage they come up with. But I now, having watched the movie, I now know why they hate it, the left. Because the street crowds, the Joker's behavior, Joker's seen as kind of a vigilante, commits a murder. He kills three people on a subway train in a scene eerily reminiscent from the old Charles Bronson movies, Death Wish movies.
Okay.
So a very, very interesting parallel there. And so on the basis of doing this, this increasingly mentally unstable man becomes a kind of underground hero. He becomes a kind of a costumed anti-hero. Mm-hmm. And the thing at the end of the movie that really gets you is the thugs, the anarchists that turn out in the street to support the kind of chaos that the Joker dealt out. That's Antifa. That is what the progressives see as their future. That is Antifa. That is people taking to the streets to demand change. That kind of mob behavior that for thousands of years of Western culture, Shakespeare despised the mob. The Greeks despised mob behavior. Mm-hmm. The founding fathers recognized that pure democracy is nothing more than mob rule. Mm-hmm. But you think about the degree to which in our lifetimes, think about how mobs have been romanticized, including the mafia, the mob, right?
Oh, yeah.
Since progressives have gotten hold of the entertainment industry, they have been really big about mainstreaming ignorant civil unrest, right? Mm-hmm. That if people turn out in the streets and start overturning cop cars and start protesting, generally speaking, the left sees that as a positive thing. In this movie, there is no escaping the fact that the mobs who turn out in the street to support the vigilante justice of Joker are just anarchic thugs. There's nothing redeeming about them. They're the politics, the cause that they're creating chaos for, none of it. Whatever nobility, whatever good ideas may have been behind their protest, you see them for what they are. They are every bit as insane as the Joker himself. And that's what drives the left nuts. Mm. Their constituency is the anarchists that want to tear everything down. And this movie just slaps them hard.
Wow.
Awesome.
Wow.
No, that's and their leader, of course, is mentally deranged.
Right.
So. Well, and that's it. The Joker, the left also hated the sympathetic way in which the Joker seemed to be handled, particularly at the end. Mm-hmm. And so that's true too. The catalyst for this violence is somebody who's out of their mind, who has lost the capacity to be a rational thinker. Mm-hmm. So you think about the madness of the leader, and then you think about how crazy the anarchists who aren't insane spill out into the streets replicating what the madman does. I mean, what a perfect metaphor for left-wing politics, right? Kind of mob rule, Antifa. You're going to fight fascism by becoming fascist, right?
Right.
You're going to defend your free speech by shutting down everybody else's. It was really creepy, and I don't want to give too much for your audience who might not have seen it, but Robert De Niro, who I find increasingly part of that crowd. This is the Robert De Niro that stands up like a fool, like a joker in some ways, and just interrupts every speech he gives with these vulgar rants against Donald Trump. I don't even know if he knew what kind of a movie he in. He plays this Johnny Carson character, and at the very end of the movie, let's just say the Joker gets vengeance on him. And I got to tell you, it maybe makes me a less of a person, but I kind of like the justice that was doled out to Robert De Niro in that movie. If anybody watched the movie knows what I'm talking about.
Okay.
But it seems so odd that here you got a caricature, an actor, a Robert De Niro, who's turned into exactly the kind of Joker character he claims to hate. He's lost his mind. He's got Trump derangement syndrome. When Trump's name comes up, he can't stop but unleashing a volley of F-bombs. The fact that he's in this movie utterly unironically and doesn't seem to be aware of the parallel between his personal life and the Joker, the character he plays on that show, is bizarre. So it was very kind of interesting to watch that dynamic unfold as well.
I'll bet.
It sounds real. I'm going to have to go see it now. But it just sounds like there's so much reality in it, and it's forcing the people, these anarchists, Antifa today, to look too much inward, and it's scaring them.
It does. And you know, one of the main aspects of this progressivism, particularly this kind of street progressivism, is this vague utopianism, right? This idea that if we just, like the French Revolution, if we just get rid of the army, cut off the head of the king, and empty the jails, everyone's going to be behave fair and justly.
Yeah,
it's like John Lennon. I'm a Beatles fan, but John Lennon's stupid song, Imagine, right?
Yes.
That everybody holds up as some imagine. Yeah, that's right. Let's imagine there's no heaven, no hell. Let's imagine there are no cops or police.
Imagine that we're all atheists.
Exactly. And when we get rid of all of mankind's civilization, then everyone's going to live together for peace.
Yeah.
That's called John. John with $60 million in the bank, right?
Right.
John, first of all, if you want to achieve that kind of utopia, give away your millions first, number one.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Number two, do you not recognize that if you get rid of the fence posts of civilization, you return us not to some utopian kumbaya place where we all hold hands, you return us to the jungle.
Yeah.
And
that's
in the jungle, it's only the strong that survive, right?
So
I think this movie makes that point as well, that your fairy tale utopianism led by the ignorant in the street is nothing more than a reduction back to mob rule and a return to jungle politics.
Oh, I think it's fantastic. Thanks for addressing that. I love how you put it. And I also think there's such a blurring of the lines that I want to point out, too. It used to be when people were protesting, they were protesting big government, or they were protesting something that needed to be protested by, you know, by people showing up and saying, we won't have this. It's been blurred now. You have the Antifa groups. You have the groups that are bought and paid for. And so protesting now, you have to decide decide what are they for and what are they actually against and who's paying for them and are they showed up as, it's kind of like Extinction Rebellion paid for by Soros. It's hard now with the blurring of the lines to know who's actually protesting something that should be protested or who is the mob rule showing up with the violent tendencies.
Or
right?
Who is the professional protester.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where I was going to go. How many of these protests, whether it was protesting Scott Walker when he was governor down mm-hmm. in Madison, when you had busloads of school kids trucked into protest,
right.
and when you Difference. Asked them what they were protesting, they said things like, I don't know, man, I just got a day off school, so I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or the kind Sad. Of protesters you see that flooded the offices of Brett Kavanaugh, right, or some of the senators during that hearing, all bought and paid for. And so even one of the things that the movie does make clear, too, that even the seeming chaos is orchestrated. It's all part of a larger plan of destabilizing civilization. And I think that's exactly what the left is after here.
Mm-hmm.
They're very good at pulling things down. But as we saw from the last Democrat debate on Tuesday, they have no clue how to put it back together.
Amen.
I mean, Elizabeth Warren, fake Indian, she can tell you why everything stinks and why she's going to pull it down, but she couldn't even answer the question, are you going to tax the middle class for your trillions of dollars of spending? She couldn't answer it.
Right.
And so the fact is that they know how to tear down, but they don't know how to build up.
Oh, man.
Yep.
You nailed that one. And we do. We have a severe problem, I think, with, you know, when I said just, you know, like the illusion, these blurred lines, it's getting harder and harder and harder to know what's what. It's very, very difficult. I saw somebody outing the chick that was on AOC, you know, at her town hall saying eating babies, and they didn't even realize that she was a plant, that she was put there. And I loved it personally. I thought it was hilarious.
And how about that utter complete sellout shill, Mitt
yes,
Romney?
Yes.
Who's got to have his own little fake persona,
Pierre,
right?
Pierre.
Talk yeah. about a guy with that. One of the things that movie examines is how this kind of mental illness results in a warping of perspective. And you got Mittens himself, right,
mm-hmm.
who is created his own uber geeky Twitter handle so
yeah.
he can kind of mildly chide people who don't like him.
Remember when Anthony Weiner was Carlos Danger? What's uh-huh. with the names? Why do they pick such weird names?
When I heard Romney's name, that Pierre Delecto, that sent a sent a chill down my spine.
Well,
Delecto,
it's odd. It's so
that
odd.
Driving around in a windowless white van with a mattress in the back.
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Something's wrong with that. And you know, we've outed Romney's record and everything else. He's a total progressive, diehard liberal, and he won't admit it. He co-opted my own state, and it's unfortunate. And I think that, you know, they out themselves. I mean, look at what's going on. It's actually quite refreshing, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
A lot of this stuff used to reside in secret. It isn't anymore. And I think every single day kind of outs him further and further as a progressive liberal. Mm. McCain, he puts McCain right. to shame right now.
Well,
and so,
McCain at least believed his nonsense.
Yeah.
Romney's clearly playing a game.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
wants the attention McCain got. And that's why he's dangling the 25th Amendment, right?
Yeah.
He's going to be a Republican hero.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
But now, call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
Not so home while you drink champagne and it tastes just like cherry cola. C-O-L-A cola. She walked up to me and she asked me to dance.
Oh, you know, I'm just playing a little Lola for you. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. I have Uncle Milty and I have the great Dr. Duke Pesta joining us in this last hour. Dr. Pesta is a weekly guest if you're just joining us in this hour all the time. And you have not heard Dr. Pesta, shame on you. You've got to be able to get to his show. The Dr. Duke Show is really amazing. And he also has a wonderful, wonderful accredited school that services homeschooling across the nation. That's amazing, by the way. Amazing teachers and amazing curriculum. That's why we love Dr. Pesta. He's true to who he is, and a conservative, a Christian, and also weighing in on all of these issues from education to everything else. His take is always so refreshing, and we're always glad to have you, Dr. Duke. Appreciate
it's a lot of fun, and it's kind of cool being on the later hour.
Right.
I feel like I'm like a little kid getting up to stay a little bit later.
I know, right? Hey, I'm loving this.
Not so early.
I'm loving this. Let's just talk about Romney for another moment before we get into some other topics. But, you know, it's tough. You know, Romney's been a tough one for me. I actually supported Romney when he ran for president, like a lot of people did back in 2012. Now I'm so embarrassed over that. I usually don't bring it up because it's kind of embarrassing. Now, I didn't realize what a liberal he was at the time. And I think there's a lot of people in that camp that just did not realize.
You know, the funny thing about 2012 is, in retrospect, I did too. I voted for him because I wanted anybody else but a second term Obama.
Right.
And in reality, you know, I'm convinced of this. If you had had a candidate, a Democrat, a mainstream Republican candidate who actually was willing to call Obama out for his record, I think Obama would have been beaten.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because we were in the dumps back then. If everybody remembers, he didn't fulfill one promise. The economy was in the dumper. Everything was – it was not that great in 2012. He had everything against him. That's why they went after the Osama bin Laden thing
Romney
in 2012.
Romney threw that election.
Yeah. Yeah,
he did. Milty, I was just going to say, it's like Romney was the Manchurian candidate.
Yep. Yeah.
It's like he didn't want to win. It's like he was more sympathetic to Obama than he was to his own campaign. And so he never attacked Obama. He never called out Obama's lies. He refused to highlight Obama's record. I mean, you're looking back in retrospect now, I think that's the only way to see this, is that he was more comfortable with Obama winning than he was with himself.
Yeah. It's sad to say, isn't it? And it's an embarrassment. It's hard for people in my own state to recognize him for who he is, but it's screamingly obvious now. And it's on a daily basis. And the fact that he made up an account named Pierre Delectable, what is it?
Delecto.
Sorry. It does remind me of Anthony Weiner's Carlos Danger, where they made up a fake account and they comment on everything. And he was down with, you know, always against Trump, no matter what Trump did. He took the globalist position. He is a liberal progressive on steroids, and I hope we're realizing it.
And Pierre Delecto, it does. It sounds like something from French X-rated film. Somebody's gnome de plume.
Yeah, it's odd.
French X-rated. Some guy with a big cheesy mustache and medallions around his neck.
Yeah.
That's exactly something that you would have seen in the movie Boogie Nights, for God's sake.
Yeah, it's so strange. I also want to talk about, well, we were talking earlier about Warren. And Warren suddenly concerned with that oh-so-big group called the trans illegals. I'm surprised she actually didn't say trans illegals women, just because, you know, you're going after and catering to groups of people that you know are going to vote for you. But the whole trans thing keeps coming up again and again and again.
Well, I'm willing to cede Elizabeth Warren the entire trans vote. She can have it. When you get her, won't buy her 1/100th of one electoral vote, she can have it. And I'll also let her have the entire Native American vote of Native Americans who can vote for her without vomiting. She can have that vote too. What I think is starting to happen, though, is that this trans stuff is getting out of hand. I mean, one of the big stories from this weekend is the manufacturer of female menstrual products, Always, right? I don't pay much attention. I guess that's a big name, feminine hygiene products. They were bullied by trans activists into taking the symbol for a woman off of their packaging because a handful of men who think they're women yelled at them that why are you gendering tampons? You're not being inclusive. There are all kinds of people who aren't women who need tampons. And so consequently, Always caved. And they took the packaging, they rebranded it so that there would be nothing on the package that suggested that it is primarily women who menstruate.
You know, it's pretty amazing. But I do remember a period of time when I would go into my wife's things and I'd think, what could I use these for?
Oh, my gosh.
Milty, I thought you were going an entirely different place when you said you went into your wife's things.
I'm just shaking my head. He's turning so red. I'm just shaking my head. I can't. So what's ironic about this is the way the feminists are reacting to their own nonsensical group of admirers, and they've got everybody up in arms about what position to take on this.
Well, the funny thing is that the feminists have finally grown a pair, if I may use that as a trans metaphor, right? And I'm not talking about ovaries. So the feminists now have grown a pair in the sense that they're calling out always for capitulating. The feminist argument now today is, why are you now erasing womanhood always? Uh-huh. And we've reached the point where feminists are yelling at a tampon company because they're not marketing to women. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
the insanity of this knows no boundaries. I had a little recollection when I was a sophomore in high school, my little Catholic high school, St. Edward's High School, Cleveland, Ohio. We had a professor of health. That's where we learned about the birds and the bees. It's the only time, never before in school was it mentioned until you were sophomores in high school. But we had, I remember our first test was on the reproductive system. And he stood at the front of the classroom and he said, okay, when you're done with the first half of the test, turn your testes ovaries. And then he said, then he looked at us in the middle of the test. He just sort of looked at us and he said, he goes, you know, I would have been I would have been a seamstress, but I never did learn how to menstruate.
Oh my gosh.
This was what the extent of it was back then.
Yeah.
And so here you are now, 30 years later, and literally a tampon company is shamed into advertising for women, so much so that the feminists have to yell at the tampon company because they've betrayed the women they serve.
Yeah.
You can't make this stuff up.
No, I can't. I can't even keep up. That's how convoluted and weird this is all getting. And I know okay. So that the few that are transgender, I mean, really transgender and have an issue with this, there's something really going on there and that needs to be addressed. I mean, yes. And I don't mean addressed politically. I mean that those people get they get help. They get what they need to have a great life. And I have got no problem with that whatsoever. But segueing into all of this kind of nonsense is where it goes so far off the rails that we, the public, can't even wrap our brains around this. I just looked on a website, a shopping website, and it said between men and women, that, you know, the columns for shopping, you know, tops and trousers and whatever. And it had the section called divided. And I'm like, well, what is divided? And I looked on it and it was just women clothing, except boxier and ill-fitted. And I thought, what in the world? I mean, normally people that have gained a few pounds are probably looking for boxy and ill-fitted, but now that's called, now we've got divided because you just don't know what you are. We've gone so far, we've jumped the shark so far. How do you get back after doing all of this?
I don't know. My wife likes to shop through magazines. She likes to do online magazine shopping and she can't buy anything. She goes, the fashions, everything looks like all girls' clothes, women's clothes looks like little boy clothes. All the shoes now look like little boy shoes. Yep. All the models all have androgynous haircuts.
Yep.
She said, it's just ridiculous. Well, there was a horrifying article, guys, out of the UK that I didn't send you the link for. I should have sent it, in which there's at one particular public school, young girls are holding their urine all day because they don't want to share rooms with bathrooms with boys. And they are actually staying home during their periods because they don't want to have to attend to their biological needs in a bathroom with boys. They're humiliated by it. Aww. And so the parents are raising a royal fuss. The little girls they're just refusing to go to school. When did we create a culture that was so protective of one very small, confused minority that we're willing to turn our back on an entire generation of young girls and tell them that your adolescent needs for privacy, for sensitivity, for modesty mean nothing because this one little boy must be given access to your privacy. It's just so bizarre. It's misogyny is what it is. For the first time, it took transgenderism to make me actually sympathetic to feminists. And I hate myself for the recognition.
It's true. You're right.
Go ahead, even more than that, though, this problem with these girls holding their urine, that can cause lifelong damage to their bladder. Yeah. I mean, this is a medical issue, too.
And even more than medical, it's psychological. For most of these kids, transgenderism is a psychological disorder. It's not, from as you said, there's a very small number who have a serious biological issue.
Right.
The vast majority of a very small number of transgenders, this is a psychological issue.
Yep.
And also, if you're a little girl who can't come to school because you're afraid you'll have to deal with your period in front of boys and you have to hold your urine all day, you are projecting psychological issues on otherwise healthy girls.
Boy, that's the truth. And then we have all the problem with sports right now kind of coming to the forefront, don't we?
oh, I mean, you got another one of these ridiculous stories of a trans man, a trans woman, a man mm-hmm. in every way, shape, and form who just identifies as a girl now has been sweeping all the bicycle races. Well, why? What do you need? What do you need to be able to win bike races? A, you need man-sized thighs, those muscles, right? Mm-hmm. And you also need the muscle oxygen capacity of a male body that yep. you can process oxygen quicker. And so this otherwise unremarkable man who now thinks he's a woman is sweeping the sport. Transgender athlete Rachel McKinnon, a biological male who identifies as a female, mm-hmm. won the Women's Masters Track Cycling World Championship sprint for the second year in a row. She's 37 years old, by the way. The idea that a 37-year-old male biker is going to be the fastest biker in the world, he's about 14 years too old.
Yeah,
but a 37-year-old male with a wig on, is an old man in the biking world, is now dominating the best women in the sport. Mm-hmm. And some of the women are justifiably upset about it.
Yeah.
Which is the good part of it, because there mm-hmm. has been a period of time there where they wouldn't dare speak out. And yeah. now finally people are feeling comfortable saying, wait a minute here.
Mm-hmm. You know what's coming, guys, right? You're going to have men, if the left isn't stopped on this madness, you're going to have men's sports, and then you're going to have co-ed sports, right? Mm-hmm. Which means men's sports and sports where men are allowed to play alongside the girls, which is right. which is to say, will dominate the girls. Right. You will have no women's sports whatsoever.
Yeah, right. And like Uncle Milty was saying off air to me, and I think he made a brilliant point, was that you have weight classes like in wrestling for a reason, so that you are not going up against somebody that could absolutely pounce you. You know what
Handicap
I mean?
Handicap systems.
Yeah, and so that's a reason we've always had classes and we've always had the situation so that it's at least that the playing ground is fair. At least it's level to some degree. But this is co-opting that. This is basically hijacking it and saying that doesn't exist anymore. And
that's right.
All in the name of what? To cater to this little tiny percent.
You know where we're going mm-hmm. logically, if you stop and think about it. We're going to logically eventually get to a place where there are no requirements at all for gender to play sports.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And when you get there, you will have no female sports either, right?
Right.
Let's just go out. Let's take the liberals to the fully down the road they're going down.
That's right.
No matter what your gender, mm-hmm. you should be able to play, which means that whoever are the best athletes win, which
right.
means women will never play.
Yep.
That's right.
Which means defeating the whole purpose of why they started out on this journey and to begin with, right? We'll be right back. We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
Scientific research has shown that many cancers and lifestyle diseases can be prevented with a diet rich in fruits and vegetables. This prevention comes from the phytochemicals in the plants.
I don't take any supplementation, but I take Balance of Nature because I've seen it in my lab and I know that it works. I've seen the immune response increase, I've seen your DNA repair capacity increase, and I've seen DNA protection. And that, to me, as a scientist, rings so true, and it's only natural.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Balance of Nature is now offering a 35% discount and free shipping on your first preferred order of Balance of Nature. This offer may end at any time, so don't wait to start Dr. Howard's Health Challenge. Call 800-2468-751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back. I know a little Partridge Family for you. Somebody emailed me the other day. Your music choices are so off the wall. Yep. Cater to a wide audience here, and we have a lot of requests, and then we also have just a lot of different music that I personally like, and stuff that irritates the hell out of Uncle Milty, yeah. So I love to play it. Mm-hmm. Welcome back, Dr. Duke Pesta. Pesta, what's your favorite genre of music?
Gosh.
I've never asked you this.
I mean, I love classical music, but I would say I listen to 70s music.
Yeah, I do too. I love 70s. I truly do. It's one of the greatest eras in music. I love it. Welcome back to the show. Make sure you get to katedallyradio.com and make sure you check out Balance of Nature. It's a fantastic supplement. We've all got to be taking a supplement now just because we have so few nutrients in our food supply anymore. But make sure you're getting Balance of Nature. I did my homework. This was the one I found. It's been amazing, and that's why I talk about it on the air. You'll feel differently in about a week to 2 weeks after you start taking it. It works really fast, and you'll notice a huge difference in the way you sleep, the way you feel, your energy level, everything. You could put in the code KATE, and you can get a tremendous amount of savings. Do it. Go get it. It's already affordable. It just makes it even better. But go to balanceofnature.com and be taking this every day, and you'll feel a huge difference in your life. Welcome back, Dr. Pesta. We were just, and Uncle Milty, we were just discussing off air a little bit about where these people are headed. The liberal progressive is a topic on this show because the behavior's been so bizarre, and it has jumped the shark in so many areas. But really, the quest is for a utopia, but a utopia sans all liberty. And that means that they're willing to trade out liberty and freedom to create this utopia. They're willing to go so far that they can't see a couple of years down the road on where they're even headed, and where they're even headed really hurts their own messaging. It's bizarre.
See, I could forgive them not seeing 2 years in advance. Foresight is something very few of us have. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they have ignored thousands of years of human history, which all they have to do is crack a book, for that they cannot be forgiven.
Right.
The progressive utopian thinks that he can do what no one else has been able to do in the history of the world, because the progressive utopian of today is just smarter than all the great men dead, that he can make work what never worked before. And that's the hubris of the typical progressive. They don't know their history. They don't realize that there are certain truths that are self-evident about human nature. They don't get it. And one little tidbit, people never realize this. The Greek word utopia actually means no place if you translate it, because the Greeks knew that this kind of heaven on earth, this kind of John Lennon fantasy, let's tear it all down and live like brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. No, you tear it all down and you have a jungle, right? You create a system in which only the strong survive. That the word utopia itself, the Greeks knew, was not possible. It's a fairy tale. Mm-hmm. And the progressive pursuit of this kind of fairy tale world is going to have long-term consequences. We were talking about women's monthly problems, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw this, but in the last debate and shortly thereafter, Beto O'Rourke, that wonderfully sensitive woman, right? Beto O'Rourke, he actually called for what he referred to as period justice, to pass the Menstrual Equity Act. He wants to pass it.
You have just got to be kidding.
No. It will require that period products be made available to women across America because, according to Beto O'Rourke, women do not have access to period products.
Really?
So in other words, there are apparently millions of women who are strolling around in their daily lives, evidently just bleeding on themselves because they have not access to this stuff. And this is what some of the other Democrats want, too. They want to make menstrual products freely available to women all across America because women don't have these things.
I just don't even have
words. That's good. You know, the other thing is that in order to maintain all of these progressive policies always seems to require a dictator.
Oh yes.
Oh my gosh. It's just so nonsensical. I don't even understand.
Hey, what this country needs is a tampon czar.
Oh my God.
That's what we need. But remember when they said this about birth control? $4 at your local Walmart.
Yes.
And women can't afford it.
Yes.
And if men had babies, they'd be free. And if men menstruated, tampons would be in every public place. This argument, these made-up arguments by gender feminist professors at local colleges, it's just so stupid. But now you have, you know, most of the Democrat Party vying for presidential office. This is the kind of stuff that they say they're going to do, right? We're going to bring menstrual equity to American women. In fact,
the purpose,
a direct quote from Beto, direct quote, the purpose of the Menstrual Equity Act is to increase the availability and affordability of menstrual hygiene products for individuals with limited access and for other purposes, i.e. men too need tampon machines in their bathrooms. So it's not just providing more for women, but providing it for other purposes.
We're completely insane. We're completely insane now. You know, between this erectile dysfunction stuff, vaginal mesh, vagina hats, can we just go back to decency? Like when this was not all topics of conversation going on.
We'll be completely insane when they also require sanitary napkins.
And look, as a man who's been married for 25 years, I say we start a cause that women need Viagra too. It's not my fault, guys. It's 25 years.
Oh God!
I think we ought to make Viagra available to women because women have erectile dysfunction too.
Yes, I'm beginning to think so. My gosh, I hear it so often. You know, this is just Looney Tunes. This is just insanity. And who's going to call it out as insanity? Because you have people that are moderating this crapola, with a straight face.
Yep.
Nobody's laughing these people off the stage for their insanity.
That's because the sane majority has allowed the left to use words like sexism and racism bigotry as a deal closer.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. This is just
rather than we fighting that, right? So some women's studies professor calls me sexist. Laugh in her face.
Right.
Who is she?
Right.
But when they say it, we back way down, right?
If you do
that, you're racist. It's amazing how that statement drives even smart politicians into silence.
Oh my gosh. We have a caller for you. Hi, caller. Go right ahead. You're on with Dr. Duke Pesta and Uncle Milty and myself.
Yeah, you have to think with woke logic. You have to understand that woman who identifies as a man and uses the man's restroom may need to have a product in there for her, her regenerative identity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But the real answer for that, sir, is just to have no bathroom barriers, right?
Yeah.
In fact, and you know, I remember I just was 20 years ago, this blew me away. Right. One of my kids took a trip to Germany. Mm-hmm. And she brought back what she thought was the funniest thing in the world. It was a sign that her brother had pulled out of the men's room, and it had a little guy sitting, a little stick figure man, being told to sit on the toilet and not pee standing up.
Right.
Because, of course, and the argument was that in Germany at the time, 20 years ago, the fact that men stand to pee and women sit to pee instills negative connotations in men about women. That men somehow see themselves as standing to pee as much more important and virile than women who have to sit. And so 20 years ago, they had signs in German bathrooms that said, "Bitte, please," and they had a little X through the guy standing up peeing, a little stick figure who was standing to pee. They were driving men to sit to pee so that there was some kind of cultural equivalence so men wouldn't feel superior to women. This was 20 years ago.
You know what this reminds, it sparms you of this. Make the world go away. I don't even know. You know what? We've gone crazy. We have gone crazy.
Well, I'd like to dedicate this program today talking about menstruation and Viagra and who pees how. I'd like to dedicate this whole hour to Pierre Delecto.
Pierre Delecto.
Sounds delectable.
I'm so humiliated and embarrassed for him. I can't even imagine, just like Anthony Weiner putting out Carlos Danger, I can't imagine him doing that, Romney. That to me was kind of shocking, actually. Every time I open up the news cycle of the morning, I'm looking at new articles about him and how far left he's, you know, tripped on and what he's now exposed as doing. But this one actually surprised me. I didn't think he'd go that far. Like, this is bizarre.
Well, it's not even just the fake name. I mean, obviously people like that have such an inflated sense of themselves.
I mean, come on.
That constructing secondary persona shouldn't surprise us. I think what we've learned from Mitt Romney this week is he'd give anything to have Obama back as president. Anybody but Trump for him. And so he's loving this. He loves the attention he gets. And think about how popular Romney was before he ran for president. They loved him because he brought big time health care to Massachusetts. He seemed to be pro-abortion, at least in his behavior. He was very leftist for a Mormon and a guy like somebody like that. And yet Then you get him. Then when he's suddenly running against Obama, the media turned on him, right? Just like they did with John McCain 4 years earlier. Yep. McCain was the maverick. McCain was the guy because McCain was willing to sell his own party down the road. McCain was not your typical Republican. The media loved him. Then he ran against the Democrat president, got trounced. Same thing happened to Romney. But you get the impression now that Romney is trying to stay in the news. He's trying to stay somehow relevant. And the way he's carved out the niche for himself is to be blindly, stupidly anti-Trump. It's going to fail for him, but that's where he wants to be. And the media, again, is turning their attention to him because he's doing it.
You know, in several of the articles, though, about this Pierre Delecto name, there's photographs of him and video of him talking about it. And he really does, in a lot of them, look a little embarrassed.
Well, he should. Sure. Here's a question for our listeners out there. Mm-hmm. A six-pack of beer to whoever can draw the best superhero costume for Pierre Delecto. There's been Romney, right? He goes into a phone booth, and he rips off his clothing, and underneath is the Pierre Delecto costume. I'm thinking it's going to have to do with a G-string. G-strings are going to have to be involved. Capes, definitely. But what is the best possible Pierre Delecto costume?
Gosh.
Let's get our artistic wits out there on the job. I will spring for the six-pack myself. Mail it to you anywhere in the continental United States. The best Pierre Delecto superhero costume.
Well, I'm just mortified for him. And truly, he deserves it because he has just been such a product of globalization and anything having to do with anti-liberty for so long. He dissed my show. He didn't show up for an interview after confirming three times. He's a piece of work. I'll tell you that. And I do hope people are waking up. There's a lot going on. And it's this whole mantra of this progressive leftism. I'm waiting. I've said this before. On the show, but I'm just waiting until they declare themselves full-on communist like they did with the word socialism back in 2007. You were talking about, you know, the different elections. 2007 is when they finally said, we are socialists, and the media didn't go crazy. The media saluted them. And I'm wondering when they're going to go full communist now.
Well, Karl Marx said it himself. Karl Marx made it abundantly clear. He said, and I quote, socialism is the path to communism.
Yes,
he said it's the first step towards what is inevitably has to be communism. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah,
socialism is the necessary.
Absolutely, but when are they going to go full? Like, I am a communist and I'm proud of it, and it'll be accepted because the media will parade it around like it's a good thing.
I think if Trump is defeated, then the Democrats who sweep into office will. If it's Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren, before their 4-year term is out, they will be speaking in terms of full-on communism.
Yeah. Have you heard any rumblings? I have chatter on the ground is what I call it, that Pence will be out as for the second term.
I mean, but I don't know. I mean, now Fox polls predicting that Donald Trump will get trounced by any of the top three Democrats.
Oh, please.
I don't know how to believe any of it.
Well, that tells you that Fox News is a lot like the CNN. It's just painted in a different lipstick. Same pig, different lipstick.
Yep. Yeah. I will say this. Give me two Shepard Smiths for every one Chris Wallace. I'm glad she left. But boy, Chris, go to 60 Minutes where your liberal father was and just quit pretending you have the slightest anything in common with Fox News anymore.
He makes his father look conservative.
Yeah, right. He does, right? And his father was much less smug.
Yeah. We're in a strange time right now, and we're touting really strange ideas that I think are really biting them in the rear end. And I think that once you dial down and you see where it's going, I just hope more progressive liberals out there will open their eyes to where their big candidate is going with the messages that it's anti-freedom.
Let me just close with this, my last comment.
Sure.
Now that we know who Pierre Delecto is, I really, really, really want to see that binder full of women.
Oh, ouch. Oh, Dr. Duke, you're fun. Dr. Duke Pesta, and make sure you catch his show, the Dr. Duke Show. I love the show, and plus he's amazing. Love the work that you're doing. Keep on it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
And
thank
God
you.
Bless.
Appreciate you. He's terrific. All right, everybody, be faithful, be fearless. Thank you, Uncle Milty. See you back here tomorrow. Thank you for listening to The Kate Daly Show. You can go to The Kate Daly Show on Facebook, The Kate Daly Show on Twitter. Happy to see you there. And also message me. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at kate@katedalyradio.com. Go to katedalyradio.com for more podcasts of our live show.